Just a few minutes later, Vladimir's friend dropped Reb Chaim off at the secret rendezvous location. Reb Chaim went to the door and knocked hard, but there was no response. He knocked again and again, but still no response came from inside the house. Suddenly, without any prelude, the door opened and standing there was Yuri.
Yuri, is everything okay?
Rabbi, come inside. We have to learn.
Yuri, where's Felix? And how come there was no code? You're supposed to ask me a question, and I'm supposed to answer.
Don't worry, Rabbi. Come learn. We are all here.
Yuri, something seems a little fishy here.
Rabbi, don't worry. Everything is fine.
Reb Chaim finally entered the house, but his suspicions were very strongly aroused. They walked through the long hallway as usual, and Reb Chaim felt a little bit comforted when he saw the old lady sitting in her customary seat, clutching her tear-stained tehillim. They walked across the kitchen and drew the curtain and headed down to the musty old cellar. Immediately, Reb Chaim noticed that all the men were sitting there except for Felix.
Gentlemen, where is Felix?
Rabbi, everything is fine. Maybe he had a sore throat. I don't know.
I don't like it. How come none of you want to look me in the eye?
Well, actually, you see, it's not that simple. His sore throat actually wasn't caused by a disease. It was...
All right, Yuri. Please. I can see something is very wrong. What is going on here?
Okay, well anyhow, he had a sore throat because the KGB was holding him tightly around the neck.
He what?
Well, Felix was captured last night.
Oh no! Felix was captured by the KGB?
Well, unfortunately, yes.
Well, what are we going to do about it? We're just going to sit here and pretend nothing is wrong?
Rabbi, we are doing everything we can. We are praying day and night, but this is once-in-lifetime opportunity to learn Torah. That's why we didn't want to tell you, so we should be able to learn without distraction. We thought it's better if we learn, and that will be big merit for Felix to be released from KGB.
Reb Chaim was once again left speechless by the bravery and the incredible courage of these young men. With great effort, he managed to forget about Felix and sat down to learn with the usual level of concentration. The 4 hours flew by, but at 1 o'clock in the morning, instead of standing up as usual, Reb Chaim said,
"Gentlemen, I've been thinking, I might have an idea. You know, I'm from America, and maybe I could send a letter to my congressman, and maybe my congressman could talk to the president, and maybe the president could place a call to Premier Gorbachev, and maybe..."
Rabbi, you must be joking. You just regular citizen and you think you can get Felix released from KGB? It's not that simple.
Well, it doesn't hurt to try. Come to think of it, maybe I could get all the kids in my son's school to write letters, and maybe we could get the people from my shul to write letters, and then maybe people could call their congressmen and call their senators, and the next thing you know, we'll have hundreds and hundreds of people and thousands of people, and they're all gonna write letters, and it's gonna be...
Rabbi, I think so you're getting a little bit carried away.
No. This is not getting carried away. This is a great idea.
The men stared at Reb Chaim with astonishment. Having lived their entire lives under Soviet Russia, they never dreamed it was possible for a private citizen to have any sway at all with the government. As they continued to look at him in bewilderment, they heard noise coming from upstairs. They all stopped moving. Reb Chaim could hear his own heartbeat in his ears. The other men looked equally fearful. Their faces had suddenly turned to ashen white. They could hear shouting and loud footsteps. Suddenly, there were footsteps pounding on the stairs.
What is going on? Who knows about where we are here?
Sure enough, seconds later, the KGB agent from the hotel burst into the room.
There's no time to explain. Everybody, quickly, hide all the books.
But wait. What are we going to do? How's it going to help to hide the books?
They're coming. There's no time. Quickly.
The men grabbed the Gemaras and stuffed them in a corner under some old crates. The KGB agent reached into his pocket and pulled out a deck of cards. From his other pocket, he pulled out a bottle of vodka that Reb Chaim felt like he had seen before. Reb Chaim was gripped by a feeling of deja vu as he suddenly remembered the story of the Yidden under the Greeks trying to disguise their learning by playing with dreidlach.
Okay, everybody, sit down around the table. We are playing cards, drinking vodka, having good time.
You too?
No, me not, of course. I am the one that's catching you. I have no time to explain now. I explain later.
Reb Chaim and the men started playing with the cards. A few seconds later, the KGB agent said,
Okay, I hear them now. Here they come. I managed to get here before them.
They could hear many heavy footsteps on the stairs. 5 men burst into the room. The friendly KGB agent looked up as they came in.
No, nothing going on here. They're just playing cards and drinking vodka. I guess our information was not good.
The men looked at their boss and then, with disappointment on their faces, started making their way out of the room. The lead KGB agent, Reb Chaim's friend, also walked out of the room, but not before giving Reb Chaim a big wink. The men were able to finally catch their breath, but they knew they would never be able to use this location again. Once the KGB was aware of it, it was too dangerous to come back here again. Reb Chaim and the men made their way up the stairs and out of the house. They each went their own way, some of them singing a little bit too loudly for so late at night, pretending that they had had too many drinks. Reb Chaim walked back to the hotel, noticing that now there were several KGB agents following him.